Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Thank you for being here. You are at First Baptist Church on Sunday morning. You're in the right place. I'm glad that you guys are here. Thank you, Steve and band, for leading us in worship. You guys do an excellent job. And Lindsay, thanks for singing that song. We're going to talk about that song a little bit here in a second. But first of all, my name is Anthony. And Anthony Schindler, I'm the new associate pastor here at First Baptist Church. But most of you probably know me as Lindsay's husband, which is great. It's fine. Lindsay grew up here in Lebanon. I'm from St. Joseph, Missouri, but she grew up here in Lebanon and grew up at this church. But that's who I am. I've been here for just over a month. You may have seen my two boys, Luke and Landon. Landon is 3 and Luke is 6 today. Today is his birthday. So happy birthday to Luke. And my family came in town to celebrate his birthday and to be here for that. So glad you guys are here this morning. Me and my family are kind of going through a challenge right now. Matt just mentioned a whole bunch of other challenges that are facing our people and our families in our church, and me and my family are experiencing one too. We actually are expecting our third right now. Her name is Nora Faith, and Lindsay is about 32 weeks along. But the challenge is, and many of you have already asked us about this, and you've told us you're praying for us. But Nora has a random genetic disorder. It's called trisomy 18. It has to do with the genes, and for every 18th chromosome, there's a third one, and it has created all sorts of growth problems in her. So she's very sick. And many of you already know this, but it kind of in keeping with the theme of this week, that's what's going on in our life. And so she's very sick, so sick that Jesus is probably the only one who can really take care of her. We won't be bringing her home from the hospital when that happens. I want you to know that, because I want you to pray for us. We need you to pray for us. That's the point of being in a church, is so that we pray for one another when we go through these hard times. And you just heard, I'm not the only one going through a challenge right now. And so please pray for us, and thank you for your prayers. But it would be really easy in our situation, and in the situations that Matt talked about at the beginning, it would be really easy in our situation to question if God really loves us, and if he's really good, if he's really loving. It'd be really easy in our situation to do that. And so and that song we just sang, it kind of explores, like, how do we get through that? How do we manage that when, put the slide up here. So this is, we just sang about this. So God says, I'm loved, even when I can't feel a thing. And he says, you say, God says, when I'm that I'm strong, even when I think I'm weak. And so I'm going through a thing right now, and others, we're all going through something where it sure feels like one thing. It sure feels like God doesn't love me, and that he sure seems distant right now. Or it sure think one thing, but he says something else. So my question, how do you know what God says? How do you know? I'll give you a hint. I have one here. How do you know what God says? His word. He's told us what he says. So the Bible. This whole series that we've been doing, Brain Games, has been about trying to renew our minds to what God says. I think one thing, but God says another. So how do we renew our minds? The way we do that is we have to get what God thinks, get what God says into our brains. So my next question for you, how do you get the words in this book into your brain?
You read it.
It's that simple, right? But we don't read. We don't read. We hardly read anything besides Facebook and social media, but we don't read. Lifeway Research, they recently did, it was last year, they did a survey of Christians. How much do you read the Bible? And here's what they found out. Here's what they said in their research. 53%. So I'm going to draw a line right down here. Sorry. 53% of Christians have said, I have never read the Bible, or I have only read a few passages. 50% of people here have never read the Word of God, or have only read a few passages. And what that means is that they follow along when the pastor's preaching. They'll open up or they'll see what's on the screen. So 50% have never read what God says. And then there is 15%, so we'll say this little section up here and up in the balcony. 15% have said, I've read at least half of it. So that's good. That's good. Very good. You up there. I see you up there. And then there's 30%, so we'll just say this half over here. 30% have said I've read at least all of it or maybe more than once. So we are reading it, but there's a large portion of us that are not. So sorry, this side. I'm not singling you out. We don't read the Bible. Why? Why don't we read it? You guys can answer me. Why don't we read it? Why? What's the number one reason? We are what? Too busy. Who said it? Good job. Every time I ask, that's the number one reason. We're just too busy to read the Bible. I don't have time. Can't find time. Any other reasons? That's right. That's right. All sorts of reasons why we don't read the Bible. Almost always because we're too busy. So here's what I want to get at. This is my point. Your devotion to Scripture, your reading of this word is going to depend upon how you view it, how you value this book. All right? So here's what I want to do. I want to talk about the authority of Scripture, and then I want to talk about devotion to Scripture, and at the end we'll put it together. Okay? That's what I want to do. So authority of Scripture. You guys know what signs are, right? You know what a sign is. You drive into Lebanon and you see a sign that says Lebanon, 15 miles away. Lebanon, 10 miles away. Lebanon, 5. You know what a sign is, right? And so here's what you don't do. You don't walk up to the sign that says Lebanon, 15 miles. You don't walk up to the sign and say, I have arrived. Right? The sign is not the thing itself. A sign points beyond itself to the thing itself. And the Bible is a sign. It points beyond himself to the thing himself. And actually, the Bible is full of signs. The Bible is not opposed to signs. Jesus wasn't opposed to signs. The Bible is full of signs that point beyond itself to the one himself. And there's all sorts of signs besides the Bible. We see them every day in nature. A sunrise, a sunset for us, for humans, can be a sign that there is something out there. There is a God, there is a creator out there. Look at this world. Look how beautiful it is. So maybe you see something in a sunrise or a sunset. For maybe for you, it is when you're out on the lake and you're fishing and you see the sun, you know, reflecting off the water, or you catch that fish. And for you, that's where you see, that's where you experience something about God. Or we're coming up to the hunting season, right? So for you, maybe it's when you're in the deer stand. That's where you connect with God. There's all sorts of signs. And look around, by the way. Look around at all the signs. All of us are someone saying, there is something out there. We believe in something. So me even here, me speaking, giving my testimony, my witness is a sign pointing beyond itself to the one himself. So there's lots of signs in this world that point us beyond ourselves to God, that help us believe in God. There's lots of signs that help us experience Jesus. But Scripture is the authoritative sign. This is the sign that trumps all the other signs. This is the sign that what you experience out of the deer stand and you think, oh, I experienced this about God, you have to bring that thought underneath the authority of Scripture. Here's what I mean. Every single one of us will take all these signs in, all of your past experiences, all the things that you've learned about Jesus growing up at church or on TV, what your parents have said, the experiences you've had, the pain, the suffering that you've seen in this world, and what our mind will do your mind takes all of those in. And then your mind, in your mind's eye, will project up in your mind's eye an image of God. The problem is, every single one of us, every single one of us have a distorted and grainy and impure image of God. And what we need, what every single one of us need, is some sort of a filter to filter out all of those impurities, all of those grainy images. We need a filter. We need the Word of God to give us a correct image of God. So maybe you are like me, and you are going through something. And what the tension is, it begins to start pointing, projecting an image of God that's distant. Or maybe for you, that is the image of God that you have. You have seen all of the pain. You have seen all of the suffering in this world. And you've seen all the loss. And what is projected in your mind is an image of God that is, he's distant. He's unloving. He doesn't care. Or he just must not be powerful enough to do anything about it. And so you have this image of God that I would say is very distorted. That might be you. You have that image of God in your head. Or maybe you're here today and you are an atheist. You don't believe in God. You've looked at all the same signs I have. And I've concluded God. But you look at all the same signs and you say, nope, blank. No God. No way there's a God. Or maybe you're here and you're an agnostic. You know, an agnostic, we can't know. There's just not enough evidence. There's not enough signs. And so it's still a blank image. I want to put it up there. I want to have an image of God, but there's just not enough evidence to make that conclusion. Maybe that's what you think. What you need is Scripture. You need a filter to give you a correct image of God. You need this authoritative sign that points beyond itself to the One Himself. So where does Scripture get its authority? It tells us. It comes from Christ Himself. You see, whenever you become a Christian, it is more than just coming down, walking an aisle, and saying, yep, I'm going to believe, I want to get saved, and then going on with your life just as normal. No. Becoming a Christian means I'm going to bend my knee to King Jesus and then I'm going to follow him for the rest of my life. That means from that moment on, everything has to change. Everything changes. And one of the ways that we know what he says is through Scripture. Scripture authoritatively points us to Jesus. So when we talk about the authority of Scripture, what we are talking about here at church is it's the authority of this King Jesus that he exercises in and through Scripture. So one of the most logical ways you can bend your knee to King Jesus and follow him for the rest of your life is to begin reading this and submitting your life to what it says. And that's what I want. That's what I want for everyone here. I want you to bend your knee to King Jesus. I want you to follow him for the rest of your life. And one of the ways that we learn to do that is by devoting our lives to Scripture. So what do I mean by devotion? We talked about authority. But how do we devote ourselves to it? What do I mean by devotion? Here's what I mean. And you know this. You know what devotion means. But let me remind us. I mean faithful daily reading of Scripture. That's what I mean. Faithfully daily reading Scripture. Devoted means that you are constantly diligent in this effort. It means you are resolved in your life to make reading Scripture, the authoritative Word of God, a priority in your life. You have resolved that you are going to do this. That's what we mean by devoted. You have a very high value of this book. We, as humans, we commit ourselves to those things that we value. We do. That's just what we do. So for example, and I'll show you here, that we consistently do what we value, what we find value in. Has anybody here heard of Netflix? And have you ever binge-watched a show? Yeah, me too. We do that because we value that experience. We know that that's going to bring us some sense of enjoyment. And so you will devote hours to it, won't you? So you know how to devote yourself to something. You know how to give hours to something that you think is going to bring you enjoyment. You know how to do that. We do that pretty naturally. What, okay, so today after church, many of us are going to go home and devote 3 hours of TV to watch what?
Football.
And you're going to do it. You're not even think about it. You got it planned out. You know what you're going to eat. You know where you're going to sit. You are devoted to it. You have etched out that time. You have made it a priority in your life because you see value in it. We consistently do things that we see value in. We consistently, let me say it in a more theological way, we always do what we believe. What you do is what you believe. Your actions reveal what you believe. Sometimes they betray you. So let me say it like this. Your devotion to this book is directly correlated with how you value it. Do you value it as much as Netflix? Do I? Do you value this as much as Netflix? So here we go. So if your devotion to this book is really low, you don't read, you're in this half. If your devotion to Scripture is really low, most likely you have a very low view of this book. So what's the solution? Change your mind. Repent. Believe today that this is the authoritative Word of God. And your devotion to it will rise up. You will see the value in it. Change how you value this book. Value it more than Netflix and more than football. The band is going to come back up here, and we're going to sing one of those songs again. And as we do that, we're doing that to give you kind of a chance to respond. I want to give you a chance to respond to this. Because here's the deal. If you have a very low view of Scripture and you're not reading this, but today you decide, I want to begin doing this. I want to start reading Scripture. Here's the deal. It won't be without consequences. It will change your life. It will change your life. Scripture will do something to you. It will shape you and it will form you. Scripture, this word is not passive. It is not dead. It's not another inanimate object just sitting there on your bookshelf. This book, brothers and sisters, is alive. It is empowered and enlivened by the very Spirit of God. It has the power to change you. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. I think it's on the screen. If it's not, I have it right here. All Scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, the woman of God, may be adequate and equipped for every good work. It will shape you. It will form you. Disciple, if you are following Christ, if you have at one point in your life bent your knee to King Jesus and decided, I'm going to follow him for the rest of my life, and you're not reading this, hear me. This is not an optional upgrade. It's not. So I want to encourage you to take the next step today and say, I'm going to change how I view Scripture. I'm going to start reading this instead of watching Netflix so much. I'm going to devote myself to this. And if you're going to do that, if you're going to make that call today to say, I'm going to change, I want to start submitting my life to Jesus, by submitting my life to the authority of his word, you're going to need a friend and you're going to need a plan. You need a plan to get through the Bible and you need a friend. You need help. So at the end of the service, after we sing, I have Bible reading plans, an annual Bible reading plan. I've been doing it since 2000. I invite you to come along with me. Come, let's read the Bible. They're going to be right here and right here at the end of the service. If you grab a friend, grab a spouse and say, let's do this. Let's start submitting our life to the authority of the Word of God. And if you don't have a friend, I would love to walk with you through this. Come and find me. My email is anthony@fbclebanon.net. Let's do this. Let's read the Word of God. Let's submit our lives to Scripture. It's how I believe I'm getting through things right now. Because I've read this so many times, and so every time I'm tempted in my mind to say, God must be distant, he must be far, he must not care. No, the Word of God has told me he is good and he is great. And the proof of that is a cross. If you are here this morning and your image of God is blank, you're an atheist, you're an agnostic, you're just skeptical of this whole thing, I invite you this morning to repent. You know what that word means? It means to change your mind. Today, get rid of the blank screen and say, I want to believe in this God, the one who loved me so much that he gave his life for me. And I want to, during this song, we want to give you a chance to take the next step, because you need to take a next step. If you want to believe in him, if you want to bend your knee to King Jesus and follow him for the rest of your life, during the song, you need to take the next step and come down here. There's going to be a prayer team up here during the song. Yes, during the song. Get up out of your seat and come and tell them, today I want to repent. I want to bend my knee to King Jesus and follow him for the rest of my life. I believe what this says. And we want to give you that opportunity to make that call today. He invites you into that. We're going to sing this song, Come As You Are. Come As You Are. I want to pray. We will sing this song. And when we start singing, that is your cue to get up and come and tell this prayer team, today's the day. I want to repent. I want to believe in Jesus. I want to follow him for the rest of my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are a good and great God. You are worthy of all praise and glory and honor, no matter what I think, no matter how I feel. And Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you would be working with those and in their hearts who are going through pain, and they are going through suffering, and they're really going through a trial. Remind them what you say. Remind them what the Word of God says. Show them how much you love them. And Lord God, for those who need to, for the very first time, make a decision to follow Jesus and follow him for the rest of their life. Give them the courage they need to get up during the song and come. Just come as you are. Lord, we love you. We thank you. It's in your Son's powerful and precious name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for such a wonderful service today, God. Lord, thank you that we can come to you just as we are, God. Lord, I pray as we remember this place, God, we remember you in everything we do today. We love you and we thank you for Jesus, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. You all are dismissed. Have a good day.